Well, good morning to you.
Good morning. Would you please stand, either in body or in spirit, for the call to worship? God finds delight in humanity and in each of us. Let us rejoice before the majesty of our Creator.
God of grace and glory, who made all things, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
In Christ, we are called to endure and to hope. Let us give thanks for a faith that brings peace.
God of grace and glory, Savior of your people, how precious to us is your gift of Jesus Christ.
The Holy Spirit is present to guide and direct us. Let us listen that we may hear and do what is true.
God of grace and glory, ever present with us, how reassuring is the love with which you surround us.
Thank you.
Well, good morning and welcome to First United Church this CLM Recognition Sunday.
It is good to be gathered. Oh, that was nice. Let's do that again. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh,
house of the Lord is a fellowship of believers. We invite you to find the attendance registration pad, which should be in your pew. If you would go ahead and jot your information on that and share it with those seated with you so that we know who is here and we can follow up on those who are not. And also, if you would like to find one of the prayer cards, which should be tucked in the pocket of the pew before you, if you have a prayer concern or a praise, a hope or a joy, and would like to share that, you'll have an opportunity later in the service to either bring that forward or you can hold it up and one of our ushers will take that from you.
Let's say our affirmation of faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Amazing God, revealed to us in more ways than we can count, yet binding in unity all that was and is and yet shall be, we worship you. Source of mountains and seas, giver of light and darkness, we marvel at the work of your hands. Reconciler and redeemer, we are awed by the forgiving love that draws us to you and empowers us to care for one another. Spirit of truth, whose guidance is available to us every day, we rejoice in your transforming presence. Triune God, bless, we pray, this gathering of your disciples. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning I'll be reading from the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came to him and said, what are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish. The sailors said to one another, come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? I am a Hebrew, he replied. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea might quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We come to the part of our service where we hold up our joys and concerns to the Lord. We have some wonderful joys this morning. We have three CLMs, certified lay ministers, who are now amongst us. They are familiar faces to you, and we will talk about that more in a minute. But we hold our CLMs up as a joy. We hold our youth had a wonderful week last Sunday and Wednesday and Friday. Our youth leaders, thank you very much. And looked like they got wet a couple times. And we had a wonderful experience Wednesday night at the Vista Linda pool. Summer is a good thing, so we're happy about that. We are happy about those who are coming to work at the church this week. We have a group of about 25 high school age and maybe a little bit older young people coming from a Methodist church in Georgetown, Texas, and they have been working on this project for about 6 months. They have some other places that they are going to work at here in town, but about a third of them are going to be working here at the church. So if it's going to be like a week-long work day with those people doing some work. So if you find yourself with some time on your hand and want to come by and encourage or supervise or help, you're welcome. There's plenty to be done. We also have some concerns this morning. We continually pray for the leadership of our country, good to triumph over evil in this world soon. It's we live in a kind of a scary time. So, and at this time, we invite you to come forward and bring your prayer cards. You may take a moment and kneel at the altar if you wish, or just hold them up, and an usher will take them. Let us sing our hymn together.
Thank you.
Lord, we gather in your name this morning to bring you our prayers and our request. We also praise you, and we come to hear and study your word, Lord. We confess our sins, and we accept your forgiveness and compassion, your grace, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us into a moment in our busy week where we might see others who also share a love of Christ, that together we might make this place a bit of the kingdom of heaven. We ask you to free us from our sins and from our addictions, for all the threats in our lives and the things that distract us and mislead us, Lord. We ask you to take the work that we do, whether it's our job or our volunteer work or the things that we are passionate about, and use it for your kingdom, Lord. We pray for the leaders of this nation and this state, this city, and this church. We pray for our new certified lay ministers, that they might continue in this opportunity to discover the work that you have for them and to do wonderful things in your name. We pray for the goals and the objectives of this church, that they not get lost in the day-to-day business that has to go on, the little things that seem to take so much time, which we seem to get bogged down in. We pray for our brothers and sisters, those who are in jail, those who are in the hospital, those who are in nursing homes, those who are at home who just can't get here as often as they once did. These things we pray in the name of your Son Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask our three certified lay ministers, Sandy Correa, and Steve Henderson, and Mike Puckett, to come forward, please, and stand right here. Facing that way, at least for the time being. And while they're coming up, let me just tell you that, so for about the last, come on up here. Yep. Now we have room now. Yeah, hold on to her, Mike, thank you. So this has been almost a year-long process, not quite, but Mike and Sandy and Steve have completed an intensive course of instruction. They have been trained by not only Pastor Tina and I, but three other ministers from around the conference, and Reverend Pam Rowley, who's the administrator of the Certified Lay Minister Program. And this is sort of an advanced, very advanced version of what you have known in the past as lay speaking. It's along that line, but it's more than just speaking to the congregation, which we hope they will do from time to time. But it's looking at their lives as a ministry to God and to the church, and further discovering what God wants them to be doing with their lives. Now let me say, before we have some liturgy that we want to to celebrate, I will just point out that Mike and Sandy received their certificates at annual conference just, I guess, last week. Seems like a long time ago. Steve did not actually get his certificate yet because they're very, very strict about the requirements to this. And going into it, Steve knew that he was going to miss one session, and unfortunately he did miss that one. So he'll have to make that up at the next course of this before they will give him his certificate. But I got to say that all three of them, and including and especially Steve, were so prolific in their participation and in their homework that they're just amazing. They worked a lot harder on this than I have seen people do before. So we absolutely wanted to include Steve in this and recognize him this way. As far as we are concerned, the pastors of the church, he is one of our certified lay members today, and next week, or next in a few months, when he makes up that course, he'll actually get a certificate too. So, Pastor Tina.
Lay preachers, exhorters, and class leaders have served the church since the earliest days. The United Methodist Church has recognized the historic call to ministry of all believers and has officially established the role of certified lay minister. A certified lay minister is a qualified United Methodist lay person called to congregational leadership as part of a ministry team under the supervision of a clergy person to further the growth, mission, and connectional trust of the United Methodist Church. The certified lay minister is provided with training, support, supervision, and accountability while serving to enhance the quality of ministry to small membership churches and to expand team ministry in other churches. The certified lay minister may be assigned as a congregational leader of a small church, as a part of the ministry of a larger circuit or parish, as part of a specific cultural or ethnic group ministry, or as a staff person in a large church to provide ministry to the members.
These individuals standing before you, Steve Henderson, Sandy Correa, and Mike Puckett, completed their training and received their certification, except for Steve, as lay ministers before the New Mexico Annual Conference on June 1st in a time of recognition and celebration. There were 11 individuals who received their certification, making the number of laity who have gone through CLM training and have been certified by the respective district committee and ordained ministry, 60 CLMs across our conference. They received a standing ovation from the annual conference. We celebrate the ministry of Steve and Sandy and Mike this morning. All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministries of love and service. For Steve and Sandy and Mike, they have answered a particular call to certified lay ministry. Steve and Sandy and Mike, we celebrate the gifts of ministry God has given you. We commend your calling to be a certified lay minister of the United Methodist Church. We believe that God wills the use of your gifts, graces, and talents for God's service. You have completed the requirements for certification as a certified lay minister. You are now prepared to lead worship, to proclaim the gospel, to assist in program leadership, to provide a care ministry to the congregation, to be a witness in the community, and to guide members in applying the gospel to their daily lives. We commend you to this congregation as CLMs, as certified lay ministers of First United Methodist Church. Congregation, will you do all in your power to uphold Steve and Sandy and Mike in their ministry as certified lay ministers? If so, respond with, we will.
We will.
Today we recognize and affirm you as ambassadors in this church and in the world. We dedicate you to service in the name of Jesus Christ. May God's Spirit fill you with all that is necessary to fulfill your calling to ministry in His name. And as a token of our appreciation and love, and something to guide you as you step into this new role of ministry, we would like to gift each of you with a book that is called A Guide to Prayer for Ministers and Other Service, because you are ministers. And I hope that you will find this to be valuable in leading you in your devotional life in the years to come. Now, let us pray a prayer of blessing upon Mike and Sandy and Steve. And I would invite you to reach a hand out to them as we join together in praying this blessing over them. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon Mike and Steve and Sandy. Let them know that they are indeed answering a call that has come directly from you. Bless them in their ministry. Give them discernment, wisdom, compassion, and love as they step forward into this new and joyous role, continuing to walk with you always in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations to all of them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
All right.
You are very welcome. Now, don't fall going down. Okay. Right. Catch your mic.
Will the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering? This might be a good time, and I'll just throw it out here, is that it's summertime, and sometimes I understand that at First United Methodist Church, the attendance dips down a little bit on some of the weeks, and that is to be expected. The other part of that, though, is that often our offering dips proportionately to that. So if you are know that you're going to be missing a Sunday, We remind you that that would just be wonderful, and it would be that it's really necessary for you to keep up your end of your regular offering. You are so faithful and loyal with that, and inspiring. But we just want to point out: don't think it is ever not needed or unnoticed. Because summer is kind of a long, dry spell, no pun intended. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask you to accept these offerings and multiply them for the good of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you now to pass the peace of Christ to one another, and the kids can come on up for the children's time.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
That was gorgeous. Yeah. Wonderful. Wow. I can shake
the whole pointer's hand.
Peace be with you, my dear. And peace be with you. Peace be with you. Okay. Peace be with you. Does the world look a bit different from over here? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Hi, how are you?
Good. Okay, come on up.
Peace be with you.
Come sit up here. Wait, no, you're good. You're good. You're good right there.
And it's not 11 Mike, according to Bill.
It's what?
Not 11 Mike.
Oh.
He is still. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, welcome, guys. All right, All right, here's what we're going to do. Remember, some of you are in Sunday school, at least my Sunday school, and with Pastor Tina and my Sunday school. This morning we talked about Jonah and the whale, and we kind of acted that story out. So I want to do a little bit of that this morning, just for a second here. So everybody get up here, if you can, and sit in rows facing me, like you're on a boat. Now you're going to sit down. You're going to be tightly packed in here. Okay, Brenton, get it. Okay, it has to be like a boat. All right, JP, get over there so you can be in the boat. Brenton, scoot in a little bit more, scoot a little bit more. Okay, Brandon, all right, pardon us, folks. Brandon, you come sit up here because I need you to be in like a narrow place here. Brenton, could you move up here? Okay, Blake, could you move up here too and get right there in that hole? Okay, now, all right, no, you're not right here. Blake, right there. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay, good. Now scoot back a little bit. Okay, that concludes our presentation. Okay. Took a long time just to make that happen. Now, okay, so all of these, part of the story is, at one point, Jonah is out in a boat with a bunch of fishermen, and a big storm goes by, and, okay, so sway back and forth. Okay, make a wind noise. Okay, that sounds more like a snore, but go ahead. Big snore, no, big wind noise. Okay, now do both at the same time. Sounds kind of like my dog when he's taking a nap, but that's okay. All right, so you're in a boat, and you're all sailors in the boat, and then, then Jonah, I'll let Tina tell the story, but Jonah ended up getting thrown overboard, and then he got swallowed up, and he was in the belly of a whale. Have you heard that song about being in the belly of a whale? Okay, I don't remember it either, but there is one, very famous song. But what would it be like if you were in the belly of a whale? What would it be like if you were in a big fish? You have any idea? Do you think that would be really yucky? I think it would be. Who knows what all stuff is happening in the belly of a fish? And not only that, but it would be dark, and it would be stinky, and it would just not be very good, and you would be all alone. Now you guys, what? Yes, there, okay. So, I want to recreate the experience for you of being in the belly of a whale. So squeeze in together, and what we're going to do is, okay, we're going to put you in the belly of a whale. Okay, mothers, this is a clean sheet. We washed it right before we moved here. So, okay, squeeze in together. Okay, now, everybody under the sheet, just put your head under. Okay, now, okay. Okay, now don't move, don't say anything yet. Now, do you feel like it's dark? Is it lonely? Well, probably not right now. But if you were in there by yourself, would you be lonely? And would you be unhappy? Would you be trying to get out of there? Would you be praying to God to get you out of there really fast because it's lonely and stinky and dark? Would you? I bet you would. Okay. Oh, sorry. Well, God answers prayers. And that's what the sermon is about today. That's what the Bible story is about today. Because our lives are a dialogue. We're constantly talking to God. And sometimes God tells us to do things. And we don't always obey God. And that's what the story is about today. So let's say a little prayer. God, we thank you for these young men and women, that they might continue to grow sound in their faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. See you next time. Bye. Bye.
'As the children vacate the boat, I just want to take a moment to say, Michelle, that was amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wasn't that beautiful? Is the beginning of that Rachmaninoff? Oh man, it's on my list of favorite pieces. You know that part of our choir is in San Francisco this week and throughout. They're about a week and a half that they are gone, is that right? Or no, they come back this next week. But anyway, some of them are gone. So do you like how the choir all kind of snuggled up on the one side? I felt good that they chose our side to sit on. It's like, yay, they're over here. But Michelle, that was just fabulous. Thank you so much. All right, let's continue a little bit with the story of Jonah. Our first scripture reading, you actually heard the entire first chapter. Now you're going to hear part of the second chapter of Jonah. From Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now remember, Jonah is at this point sitting in the big fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars are closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And would you join me now in prayer? O gracious God, how we thank you for leading us, for guiding us, for giving us miraculous stories of fish and people. We ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of great value to your people. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. There is simply so much to love about the story of Jonah. I mean, really, the guy is swallowed by a fish. He's swallowed by a fish. It just doesn't get any better than that. I mean, a lot of people have fish stories, right? And maybe you've heard a few, or maybe you've even told a fish story. But this fish story is like the fish story of them all. My personal fish story took place on the Boundary Waters of Minnesota. Now, are you familiar with the Boundary Waters? That is a large region right on the border of Canada and northern Minnesota, and there's this huge, huge area that for miles and miles, it seems like there's more water than there is land. And a large portion of this area is designated for canoes only. So believe it or not, once upon a time, way back when, I went to the Boundary Waters on canoe trips a couple of different times. One time was with a youth group, one time was just a bunch of us young adults on a fishing trip. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, but on this particular fishing trip, it was sort of like this. We were in canoes. It was a 75-mile canoe trip up through the Boundary Waters. I would have been the person in the front. This is not us, but I would have been in the front. There was a guy in the back, and in between us was this mountain of stuff because we were canoeing and backpacking through this wilderness area. So all the tents and all of that stuff is in the middle. We had a group of about five different canoes, and we were on the edge of a very, very large lake, but kind of staying close to the edge and fishing as we went, because I guess that's where the fish live. So I'm fishing from the front, my buddy is fishing from the back, and I'm casting my lure and reeling it in and casting it and reeling it in. And if you've ever done that kind of fishing, then you know what happens when you hear the sound that your reel makes when it goes zzzz. It means a fish has gotten your lure and away it goes. And I was excited because I've got a fish, I've got a fish. And my buddy from the back is saying, just gently reel it in, and I did. Oh, this was fun, I'm reeling in the fish. It was fun. Until the fish got, I guess, to about the place where it must have seen the boat, and then it decided to go a different direction. And it went down really fast. Really, really, really fast. And I was trying to pull the fish in, and my buddy from the back of the boat is trying to come and help me, but there's all this stuff to get over, and he didn't want to tip the boat, so he's saying, just hang on, and he's trying to climb over the stuff, and I'm holding on, because at that point, all I was thinking was, I don't want to lose my rod, because we've still got the rest of the trip to go, and it pulled me over the side of the boat, clear until my wrists were underwater, hanging on to this reel and rod. And suddenly the fish came back the other direction and it leapt out of the water. And it was huge. It was huge. And we screamed and we hollered, and my partner's trying to get up to where I was to help me pull in the fish. And the fish splashed back down and it went under the boat, and suddenly my rod came popping right back up because the fish had gotten away. And it had bent, it was called a treble hook, which meant there's three hooks, and the three hooks were straight because it had pulled those hooks straight and gotten away. Now, as is the case in all fish stories, you, the listener, have to decide how much of what I have told you is true. Merriam-Webster, the best dictionary, Merriam-Webster defines a fish story as an exaggerated story, a story that is so strange or surprising that it seems very unlikely to be true. So how interesting, then, that there are so many fish stories in the Bible. I mean, literal fish stories about actual fish. The Bible's full of them. You heard one just a little bit ago with the story of Jonah. You remember the time when Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee and he came upon some young men and said, "Come with me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Remember the time when Jesus told Peter, "Go out to the lake and catch a fish," and when he caught the fish, a coin came out of the mouth of the fish so that they could pay their taxes. More than once, the disciples were fishing with no fish in sight, and suddenly Jesus comes along and they have so many fish, they can't even get them all into the boat. How about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where a young boy comes up and he has only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, but they're able to feed multitudes of people. Now, many of these biblical stories of fish are viewed by the world at large as fish stories. Stories so strange or surprising that they seem very unlikely to be true. Well, I figure summer's a good time of the year to talk about a few fish stories. So welcome to our new sermon series, Fish Stories. And we begin with the greatest fish story of them all, the story of Jonah. Now, if you've never read the story of Jonah, you really need to. Jonah gets his own book in the Bible. It's not very long, only 4 chapters. You can read it in a few minutes. If you haven't had a chance to read Jonah lately, I encourage you, go home this afternoon and spend just a moment reading it, because this is a great story. God comes to Jonah and asks him to run an errand. "Go on over to Nineveh and tell the people that I'm tired of them being so naughty." But Jonah doesn't want to go. In fact, he so doesn't want to go that he goes the opposite direction and buys a ship ticket, a one-way ticket to a completely different town. Well, you know the story. He gets on the boat, they start on their journey, and sure as the world, a big old storm comes up. The sailors are terrified. They realize eventually that it's Jonah's lie and his deceit that's the cause of this particular bad weather system. And Jonah himself says, "Just throw me over, boys. It's the only thing to do. It's the only way to calm this sea." There's a little bit of hemming and hawing, and eventually they finally go ahead and throw him over. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, on a little side note, if you were to Google Jonah being swallowed by a fish, it is amazing how many different versions of this picture there are. People have all kinds of different ideas of how this might have looked. Like, check out this one. Ah, that's a little scarier, isn't it? Yeah, that's not quite the happy little fish right there. Look at this one, getting more gruesome. The Middle Ages, their fish had giant teeth and scales. They were just really, really freaked out. This is an actual fish. And that, see the person up there? That's a real live person in scuba gear. Jonah did not have scuba gear. But the point is, look, that fish could swallow that person. It kind of gives credibility to the story, doesn't it? There are actually sea creatures big enough to swallow a human being. But I prefer a little more pleasant version. I like happy Jonah in a happy whale. The Bible says that not only was Jonah swallowed by the big fish, but he stayed alive in the fish's belly for 3 days. Now, it's usually at this point in the story that people start to have different viewpoints about this whole Jonah thing. Some people think that the story of Jonah and everything else in the Bible is literally and exactly word for word fact. Those folks would say that this is an historical accounting of a real life event that happened to a real live person, just exactly the way that it's described in the Old Testament. Other people get to this point in the story and they think that this is nothing more than a fish story, an exaggerated tale that could not possibly be true. And unfortunately, because they think of Jonah's story as being so impossible and other stories in the Bible as being just as far-fetched, some of those people just discount the whole thing and say, oh, the Bible, that whole thing is just a bunch of make-believe. I tend to think that neither one of those viewpoints is completely accurate. You see, the Bible is a collection of many, many different kinds of writings. Some of the Bible is history. Some of it is a documentation of historical facts that occurred long, long ago. Some of the Bible is poetry. Psalms and Proverbs are beautiful poems and songs written to inspire us and make us think. There are places where in our English language Bibles, we don't get the full effect of some of that poetry, because in the original language, things were written sometimes in order to rhyme or to play on words that we tend to miss because of our translations. But some of the Bible is poetry. Some of the Bible is letters. Letters that a person actually wrote down by hand and put in their version of the mail to be sent to people far away so that they could read the message written to them. Some of the Bible is stories that are told to make a point. Stories that were handed down for generations from grandfather to grandchild and from grandmother to granddaughter. Stories that were told to help people think about the world, kind of the same way that Jesus used parables to illustrate his points. But the most important thing to remember is that all of the Bible is God speaking to us. The Bible is God's word speaking to us. If we get to arguing over certain details about, well, that's not really literally true, or yes, it is, it has to be exactly 7 days in which the world was created. If we get messed up and start arguing over those details about what's believable and what's not, then we miss the point. Sure, we could sit here and discuss whether or not a person could really be swallowed by a fish and survive for 3 days in the dark and the gastric fluids? Maybe. Maybe not. But what really matters is that God has lessons to teach us through Jonah. Arguing over details is what distracts us from missing the point. So let's take a look at some of these lessons from Jonah. For one thing, running from God never works. You can try to ignore God, you can lie to yourself, and you can lie to other people, and you can even try to lie to God, but it never works out. Because like Jonah, eventually you will have to face the consequences of your actions. So why not just save time, quit trying to pretend that God doesn't know what's going on in your heart, and go ahead and tell him how you feel. Instead of running away, just tell God, I hear you, but I don't like this, and I really kind of feel like running away. I promise you, if you're honest with God, lightning is not going to strike you. It's called confession. God, I know I should do this, or I know I should do that, but I just don't even want to right now. And it's when we get to that point of complete honesty that God is finally able to reach in and say, I know how you feel. Let me help you get to another place. Don't run away from God, but do tell God why you feel like running away. Another lesson from the story of Jonah. Even when you feel like you're drowning, God is taking care of you. Now, we've all had those points when we've thought, I am going down and there is no saving me at this moment. But even when you feel like you're going down, God is going to take care of you. Now, it may not happen in the way that you thought. It may not even happen in the way that you had hoped that it would. When Jonah was thrown overboard and that big fish came at him, I kind of doubt that Jonah was thinking, oh good, a big fish is going to eat me now. He was probably thinking, are you kidding me? Like, this isn't enough, now I'm going to be eaten alive? Sometimes it's not until after the fact that we can look back and realize that God was at work in our lives. And I would imagine it was that way for Jonah. I would imagine it took a little bit before he realized, oh, the fish was there to save me. Thanks, God. Good job sending the big fish. Oftentimes, it's not until we're past the moment and looking back that we realize how God was taking care of us the whole time. But he does. In your darkest moments, when all seems lost, you are not alone. God is with you. God is caring for you. God is providing for you. Trust him. Lesson 3. Sometimes you just have to sit in the belly of the whale. Now think about old Jonah. He's sitting in this fish gut. It had to be icky. Who knows what was in there? And it was so dark, he couldn't see what it was anyway, so all he can do is sit in the muck, and if he reaches out, he's going to touch something that's got to feel squirmy. It cannot be pleasant, and I don't even want to think about how it smells. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. He doesn't know it's only going to be 3 days and nights. He's thinking, like, this is what it is. I'm just going to starve to death in the belly of the whale. He doesn't know what's going to happen. All he can do is sit and wait and wonder. And sometimes life is like that. There are moments when all that we can do is just sit in the muck and wonder what's going to happen next. And for me, that is the hardest thing in the world to do. All you know is, this stinks. And you don't know what is next. So we need to take a lesson from Jonah. Because what did he do when he was sitting there in that dark, icky, nasty space? He prayed. He prayed a beautiful prayer, a song, really. A song that said to God, here I am in a mess. You saved me, and I'm grateful. But I don't know what's going to happen next. But God, you definitely have my attention. That's how he spent his time. So if you find yourself in one of those moments, sitting in the muck in the belly of the fish, just pray and know that God is there with you. The good news is that suffering never lasts forever, which brings us to our fourth lesson. We worship the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. God answers Jonah's prayer. The fish spits him out. And I love this particular picture because doesn't Jonah look like he is thinking, what happened? That was so weird. The fish spits him out. And now Jonah gets to have a second chance. But this time Jonah listens. This time Jonah does what God says to do. He goes to Nineveh. He gives the Ninevites his message. God's going to destroy you all because you've been such pills recently. Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Well, you know what happens? The king of Nineveh, when he hears this message, this king decides that the people need to change their ways. So to show God how serious they are about all of this, he declares that everyone will cover up with sackcloth, even the animals. It's kind of like saying, everybody put on your itchiest pajamas so that God will know how sorry we are. And God gives Nineveh a second chance. God changes his mind and saves the city. Now I know we could do a whole separate service just on the idea that God changes his mind, but we're not going to go there right now. But I do want to point out one more thing. When Jonah learns that God is not going to destroy Nineveh, Jonah throws a temper tantrum. Go figure. He's told them, you're going to be destroyed. The people repent. No, we're not. God says, good job, people. Love the cows with the sackcloth. Changed my mind totally. You're okay. I'm not going to destroy you. And Jonah basically says, seriously? Because I was really looking forward to watching some serious smiting going on here. And he throws a little temper tantrum. He goes out to the edge of the city. He sits down and he pouts. So God, the God of second chances and third chances, God makes a bush grow up to shade Jonah. And Jonah thinks that's nice. He's happy about the bush. I'm liking the bush. This is good. Until the next day, when God sends a worm to eat the bush, so the bush is destroyed and Jonah's sitting in the hot sun again. I mean, I know, it's just the weirdest, craziest story. But eventually God is able to say, Jonah, if you can be this concerned about a bush, then I can be this concerned about the 120,000 people who live in Nineveh. Is it a wild tale or what? Is that the craziest story you have ever heard? But the thing about this story of Jonah is that almost everybody can see ourselves somewhere in this story. Somewhere in this story, you can identify to a moment that Jonah is experiencing. I mean, where do you see yourself in this story? Are you on the run? Are you trying to avoid something that God's been telling you to do? Or are you at that moment where you're experiencing God's care in the midst of your struggle? Are you in a time of life when you feel like you're just sitting in the muck and you cannot see beyond today? Or have you reached the point where you're rejoicing because you know that God is carrying you through this and he's giving you a second and a third and a fourth chance to succeed? Are you mad about something that you hold God responsible for? Or are you in that sweet spot where you're just sitting in the shade, enjoying what God has provided? You know, even Jesus identified with the story of Jonah. Jesus, remember how he told the Pharisees, like Jonah, who sat in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so I will spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then Jesus goes on to point out that the Ninevites changed their hearts because of Jonah. But you know what? What's happening right now is even more amazing than that fish story that you've heard for so many years. So here's the truth of Jonah. God gives us new life through the risen Christ. Even when we mess up, We are loved, and we are encouraged, and we are cared for, and we are saved, and we are redirected, and we are given a second chance. So, sometime this week, find a moment to take a look at the story of Jonah. Find where you are in this story. Listen for God's message to you in this tale. And know that Jesus working in your life is no fish story. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Closing hymn, I invite you to consider the call that God has placed upon your heart. And if you want to get out of the muck and come sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, come forward during the singing of this hymn, and we will walk you through that. If you would like to place your membership in this church, come forward during the singing of this hymn, and we will receive you joyfully. But let us stand now and sing together. I would like to invite our newly commissioned lay servant ministers, certified lay ministers, to position themselves out in the narthex. If you didn't know before, the cake out there is for you. So make sure you get a piece of that. But now receive this blessing and benediction. Go forth knowing that even if you fall off the boat, God's going to save you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.